We often forget about the psalm, that piece that goes between the first and second reading that's usually sung, but the psalm is actually really important. It's the theme that ties in the first reading and gives us a broader perspective on what's intended by our first reading. It also is our response to the first reading, how we engage with it, new themes to come out of it. So I want to read the psalm again, because its key characteristic really helps us understand the rest of the readings. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, now that it is past, or a watch of the night. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long have pity on your servants. In this beautiful psalm, the psalmist is drawing our attention to one key thing: trust in God. He's saying God has, his sight is at 1,000 years. We can't comprehend what all he sees. For us, we see the changing of times and seasons, and it makes no difference. But yet, we get so locked into it that we forget that God is always there. And it's this idea of trust that pervades the rest of our readings in different ways. Because really, if you think about it, our first reading and our gospel are not really nice. They're kind of challenging. And so we got to kind of play with their themes to see how they help us with the idea of trust. So our first reading today is for the book of Ecclesiastes. Not a book that you want to read if you want to feel good about yourself or like feel happy about something. It's kind of a rough book. The story is of Koheleth, who is the son of David, who spent his life venturing around the whole world looking for wisdom and knowledge. He went to everything he could possibly do. And then, after going through all of these experiences, he wrote this book, starting with the words, "Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity." You can't get a more iconic line of the Bible than that. Vanity of vanities. Everything is vain. And then he goes further, and these lines are important for us to reflect on. "This also is vanity and a great misfortune. What profit comes to a man from all the toil and anxieties of his heart?" I think we get this. We kind of get the sense of what Koheleth is getting at, that we seem to work and work and work, and what really becomes of it? I get more worried, I get more anxious. Isn't that kind of where we end up? Oh no, the dishes need to be done. Oh no, the grass needs to be mowed. Oh, this is going on right now. Oh, what about this? Oh look, I have more homework to do. One thing after another after another. And this is how we run as a society. We are struggling with this very idea. We are pushed as a society to say, you gotta do more things. You gotta be more productive. Watch more TV shows. Do more things. Work harder. Work more hours. This is the mantra we get thrown upon us. Do more things. And the end result is exactly what Koheleth says: anxiety, worry, and toil. So then what is he drawing our attention to? Now, the key point of the book of Ecclesiastes is very important. When he gets to the very end, if you read all 13 chapters, you'll get to the point where you realize, this is all vain if God is not the core of it. If I do this all for myself, and I put all of my intention into making myself great and wonderful and powerful and amazing, I will ultimately fall into vanity, and everything will just be like a chase after the wind. I will never get anywhere. But if I recognize that God is at the core of everything, it puts a new intention to things. It puts a new spin on life, to the point where this now makes sense. Now, the same thing runs in our gospel for today, where Jesus has this guy who comes up to him and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me the inheritance." And then he gives us this parable. He doesn't outwardly tell him. He gives us a horrible parable. Here's this man who worked really hard, stored up all his treasure, and then God says, "Guess what? You're going to die. Now what?" Which is the other pole of the whole issue that I'm getting at today. On one end, there's the toil and work and labor until we're completely exhausted and have nothing left. And then if we take the other side of Ecclesiastes and say, "Well, I'm just not going to do anything at all," then we get our gospel, where the guy said, "Hey, I'm set. I'm just going to eat, rest, be merry, drink, have fun, enjoy life, and not worry about the rest of it." The carefree side. Both sides are the extremes of what I really want to get at, and that's the true trust in God. St. Augustine said it really well. He said, "Work as though everything depends on you, pray as though everything depends on God." These two poles. If I fall in one pole, if I work as though everything depends on me and only that, I'll be like Ecclesiastes. I'll be worn out, I'll be angry, I'll be frustrated. If I pray as though everything depends on God and do nothing, nothing ever happens. God doesn't intend for that either. The middle ground is where we need to sit. And it's a very tricky, nuanced place that we have to be really real about. And this is where both rest and work come to its balance. God did not intend for us to be workhorses. He did not intend for us to work and toil all our life and get nowhere. He makes this very clear in Psalm 138, in which it reads, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests. Man gets up at morning to go labor and he labors till evening falls." Everything has its flow and its structure. And the psalm, although it has another 112 verses, it has that whole point. Everything has its time and season. Everything has its structure. It just obeys God's rules of time. And if everything falls into that balance, everything is happy and everything is balanced and everything is fine. Now we want to fall into that balance. And for this reason, God set up the Sabbath. We forget about that important day because God said, "For 6 days you shall work, on the seventh you will rest." Because he knows we need rest. We can't work endlessly. Conversely, he knows that we can't just rest all the time or nothing happens. So he set up this balance in our lives. And the rest is not supposed to be this time of just, I get to lounge on the couch and do nothing. Awesome. Or Netflix and you sit there for 6 hours. God has a very particular point for that rest. The Sabbath day, if you follow the Jewish tradition, would not be one where you could watch TV. The act of turning on a TV is actually considered work to them. So what does it mean for us, though? What does rest look like? That's ultimately what we need to get at. If we need this balance in our life between work and rest, what do both of them look like? Well, rest, in its most core value, is a reality of trust. If I'm willing to stop everything that I'm doing and say, "It'll be okay, I'm going to take an hour off," that's an incredible point of trust. God, you take care of the rest, I've done as much as I can. And even the faith to take a day off from the week, which is amazing to our current society, to take a day off and just spend that time resting, is incredible. It's an incredible act of trust. This is all in your hands, God. I'm following your will. You make it work. Now let's take a step back. What do we do on those days of rest? What actually constitutes rest? Because I think for a great majority of us, when we think of rest, and by the way, I'm very much so in this case, we think, "Oh, I'll get all my chores done. Then I'll be very relaxed, right? That'll be my day of rest." No, we're not more restful. We just work more. A spiritual director I had in seminary made this point. He said, "Don't recreate, recreate." Recreation is when I go do more things. That's really what it is. Instead of doing the normal chores and day-to-day routine stuff and work, I go do other things that I enjoy as well, but there's still some form of work. Recreation, recreation, is where we make ourselves anew. Now, this is the point where we really need to hunt and find these things. As St. Paul says in the letter to the Colossians, we have become a new person. We are in the image of Christ. We have new life. We should live it and celebrate it. How do we do that? By constantly recreating ourselves in the light of God. We find those activities, those events, those things that really do rejuvenate, revitalize, bring us new life. Those things in our life that when we do them, we're like, "Yeah, I can take another week of work. Yeah, I can go do some more chores. I'm ready. I got the energy I need." Sometimes it's taking a walk. Sometimes it's reading a book. Sometimes it's hanging out at the lakeside. Whatever it might be, our goal is to find those things that actually do revitalize and re-energize us. But not just this kind of new agey kind of understanding of how to recreate ourselves. The core value, and God made this point clear about the Sabbath, is to find Him. So our goal in resting, recreating ourselves, finding time away, is that this now becomes an encounter with God. And that's the most important point. The Sabbath for the Jewish people was a point in which all they would do is go to synagogue and read scripture and reflect on their lives. That's all they did. For the point of one day set apart just for God. Now we can take some of this time, this recreative time, to do that. To let ourselves rest so we can re-find God and to recognize His presence in our lives. Because that's the other important point of rest. It's not just not doing things, it's not just recreating ourselves, but it's finding ourselves in the light of God again. So this is our task, this is our goal. How do I find time to rest? How do I find time to recreate it myself? What does that look like? And how do I carve out time just for God? Time of encounter, time of thanksgiving, time of recognizing His ever-presence. Remember St. Augustine's words again. Work as though everything depends on me. Pray as though everything depends on God. Balance everything in its proper place, and then we will truly find rest.